dann zu gehen. Und so ist, ja, was hindert uns, zum Ziel zu kommen?
What is hindering us from reaching the goal?
Da gibt es hier in Vers 13.
And here in verse 13,
da sagt Jakobus, niemand sage,
James says,
wenn er versucht,
let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. There is someone who is very interested in making sure that we do not reach the goal. That is the evil one. The Bible is very clear from the beginning to the end. Already in Genesis chapter 3, here comes the serpent, the deceiver, the tempter. He isn't coming as a big elephant. He is coming as a cunning serpent. And the word tells us that the serpent is more cunning than any beast of the field. So through the trials, God wants Christ to be gained in us, that we would go on, that we would reach the goal. But in the trial, there's another one who is coming. And he also sees that God wants to bring his people to the goal. And he wants to use this situation to cause us to fall and fail. Because the devil does not want anyone else to rule on this earth except for him. That's his reasoning. But the Lord wants to reign on this earth with us. This is what the problem is about. And this is why trials and temptations often go together. But it is not God who tempts. We already heard that God only gives us something that he knows that we can turn to the Lord and that we can have a gain and that we can also go forward, go onward. And just as Yoni just said, I also have to learn to grow through conflicts. Otherwise, his son is just going to stay small in his development. Every good gift comes from God. Even the trial is a good and perfect gift. Oftentimes, we don't know where we still need transformation and where our problems are. But the Father knows exactly where we still need transformation. And he correspondingly arranges the situations in our life. How often do we think, oh, if this and this were different, it would be simpler? But the word says that every good gift and every perfect gift is perfect for our perfection. Our family, our workplace, the saints with whom we're together in the church, that is not a coincidence. It is prepared by God, just so. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you can see that he wants to reach the goal with us. So if we come into such a situation where small things happening, for example, somebody tells you something and you don't like it, and maybe he wasn't so careful, but then it is very important that we pay attention, that we do not open the door to the tempter. The enemy would love to make something huge out of something very small, so that in the end we would give up, or that we would start to be against each other, and that he would bring in problems that would cause damage. That's why James immediately mentions the tempter. But he also says that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So the problem is within us. That is why it is good to always pay attention and crucify your flesh and not to allow the lust to grow in the small things. The lust also begins in small things. And you think, oh, I'm going to let my soul have this. And I'm going to do something that I like to do and I don't pay attention to the Lord. And then you are enticed. And it's always this way. When the trial comes, the temptation is the most attractive. Because if everything is going well, then it doesn't draw you. But when you are stuck and you are not going forward, then the enemy comes with to offer something else. And that's another situation. For example, the Lord was in the wilderness for 40 days and he didn't eat and drink anything. And on day 40, the enemy came. He didn't come on day one when the Lord had just eaten and had drink. The serpent is not dumb. He waited till day 40 and then he came. For this reason, let us not pursue the lust when it comes. Because the enemy uses our sinful flesh. That's what he attacks. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, we all have the flesh, but this is not an excuse to sin. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to do what the flesh tells us to do. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. So in every trial and temptation, we always have the choice. We can crucify our flesh through the Spirit and we will live. Or we can go after the flesh and then we will sin. Then when sin grows, just as in the Psalms it says that evil will be pregnant, then death is brought forth. When sin is full grown, it brings forth death. And that's a big problem. I think sin, all Christians are conscious of the sin. You shouldn't steal, you should not lie, you should not covet. But once the death is there, it is a condition of not being able to have any sensitivity or feeling. You don't realize what condition you are in. And this is what the goal of the enemy is. He gives you something that seemingly is so nice to the eyes, but in the end you are dead. The temptation, he never tempts us with something that we're not interested in. Each one has a weakness. Just as the Father knows what our weaknesses are and that he needs to transform us, the enemy knows the weaknesses to tempt us. So we need to be vigilant and we need to ask the Lord to protect us in all the trials, that we will not fall, but that we will turn to the Lord and put to death the flesh by the Spirit. That's why James says, do not be deceived. You think you're getting something nice, but it's only nice for a little bit, a little while, and then there's death. Haven't you made such experiences? You do something that brings you joy, but there's the lust, and in the end, there's death. So just with Eve and Adam, at the end, it was terrible. And with us, it is exactly the same way today. We are here and are called to be trained to reign with him. That's why the enemy is trying to do exactly the same thing as he did with Adam and Eve. It's the same thing every new day. That's why we should not allow ourselves to be deceived. Let us not give in and say, oh, it's not going to be so bad, because in the end, death will come. Death will be the result. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. And you have the trial, but he gives you wisdom and life. It's so good. We can ask the Father to pass every trial. And with him, there is no variation or any shadow of turning. That means that God always has good intentions with us. So it doesn't matter what happens in our life, we can all be sure that God wants the best for us. We need to hold on to that. This will hinder us from being offended in the difficulties or being stumbled, sorry. In the end, if we're stumbled, we don't want to go further. Just like John the Baptist, he was stumbled by the Lord because it didn't go as he had thought it should go. But with God, there is no variation. There is no shadow of turning. Praise the Lord. The Lord has our best interest. I know a sister who is suffering a lot, but I learned one sentence from her. The Lord is good. And every time I had to deal with her, I would say, wow, how can you still say that? But with God, there is no variation or shadow of turning. He is truly good. And verse 18, it is of his own will. God is fulfilling his will with us, something greater. I'm so short-sighted. I just see what is before me. I see a difficulty here and a temptation, and those are the things that impress me. But God has his own will. He has a greater thing to do with us. And he has reborn us by the word of his truth, and he wants to make us a first fruits of his creature. And we see that at the very end in the book of Revelation, there is a remnant of the believers who are for God's enjoyment. And these first fruits, God wants to give the kingdom to these first fruits. And this is such a wonderful purpose that God has with us. In the background, we are all sinners, but God has regenerated us. But that's not all. He has regenerated us that we might be a kind of first fruits. We have to pray, Lord, make me a first fruit. Make us first fruits. We should not think so in such a small way that we are just here to be saved and to experience God's help in small problems or different situations, but we are here to be first fruits, those who will stand with Christ on Mount Zion, to be raptured there and to reign with him. And if this is our goal, it's good to often pray for it, for each one of us. Lord, fulfill your purpose with us and make us all first fruits. Amen. This is so wonderful. And on this way of trials, we have the verses 19 through 25, which are very practical to us. Something with which we also can cooperate. What should we do? We fall into trials. We don't really know what's going to happen. But how we fall, in what condition we are when we fall into it, we do have a little bit of control. It's not good to fall into a trial and be completely unprepared and with no idea of what's happening and unexercised. How could you pass through the test? But if you practice regularly and do your homework regularly for school and there's a pop quiz, actually, it should not be a problem. I had a teacher in school who loved to do that. And it was really only to see if you finished your homework. If you did your homework, you would pass it. But if you didn't and you just did it lightly or didn't do anything, then you wouldn't pass the test. And these verses 19 to 25 show us what we can do to be prepared for all kinds of the various trials that we fall into. And the first thing that we should do is to learn to be one who is swift to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. Solomon's prayer for wisdom. He did not pray for riches and honor. Of course, many others would have probably prayed for that, but he set wisdom higher than honor and riches. And other Bible translations said, give me an ear that hears. For all the trials which we fall into, something that we can all cooperate with the Lord is to keep an ear that will hear the Lord. That is probably sounds simpler than what it actually is. In the churches, in Revelation, to the churches, the Lord spoke, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. In Hebrews chapter 3, it also says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It seems to have a listening ear is not automatic. It's not something that we just have regularly, but it requires repentance. I would even say it requires daily repentance. In Psalm verse 40, it says that you have drilled through my ears. It shows that our hearts are fallen. It quickly develops into a situation or condition not to listen to God. And usually, every man is swift to wrath and does not listen anymore. And usually when you react quickly, you don't hear anything. I really treasured the experience that was spoken about earlier. If something happens, it's good to just keep it inside and tell the Lord, Lord, speak to me now. What do you want me to do? Recently, after WhatsApp and news, some people are communicating more through the phone than with a mouth. But it's also with the phone to be quick to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you say to this? And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, is a listening ear and an eye that sees is what the Lord does. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. We should tell the Lord, Lord, we want to hear you. And we should be slow to speak so the Lord can first teach us what to say. How can you teach someone who's not listening? That doesn't work. It's very difficult for the Lord to teach us something. Because before the Lord is trying to teach, I already spoke. Before the Lord says, say this and speak to this person with the brother or the new person. Then in half an hour, I already gave that person all my knowledge for half an hour. And maybe after half an hour, I realize, oh, maybe that wasn't so good. But we can really speak this verse to ourselves every day. Let every man be swift to hear from the Lord and also from one another, slow to speak and slow to wrath. This shows self-control. Slow to wrath, especially does not happen when something happened. Then we're quick to wrath. How could we be slow? Only with the life of the Lord. So it is good to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to hear your voice daily. Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If we react, it does not make things better, but worse. Haven't you had that experience?
Fehler nicht zu wiederholen.
And wisdom is to not repeat the same mistake. May the Lord all give us wisdom so that we would not do the same thing again. And verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. If we have a listening ear, then the Lord can save our souls. Then salvation comes. And for this reason, we must lay aside. This is something that we can do. This is in our control. I have my own heart in my hand. The dirt that I gather throughout the day, the Lord says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Then he says, receive with meekness. And meekness, or to humble oneself, is very precious. That means we don't think we already know. And our knowledge is not something that will help us, but will hinder us. It's such a problem when I think, oh, I already know that. Oh, Lord Jesus, where does meekness come from? Does it just come automatically? No, it is something that we can do. Before I thought, oh, I have to wait till bad things happen. Terrible things happen, and then I will receive meekness, but that's not so good. God also uses that, but just to wait for that is not the best. James chapter 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I can say, Lord, I humble myself, humble my heart before you. I don't want to think that I know. Lord, when I come to your word, help me to read as one who has nothing. Help me to read as one who can receive with meekness, with the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Our heart is like the ground, and you have to work on it so that the word of the Lord can be implanted and save us. Lord Jesus, save our souls by your word. How we, and regarding the word, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you think you have, but you actually don't have anything, only knowledge. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The word wants to be written into our hearts, and the Lord wants that it would remain there. But if my heart is not dealt with before the Lord, then the word may come, but it will not stay there and remain. It's like looking into a mirror and forgetting it. I read the word, but it doesn't stay in my heart. It doesn't remain in my thinking during the day. I just close the Bible, and then after the prayer, the word is gone already. Then I cannot be a doer of the word. That's why it says in verse 25, We can also say, but we. It's very good. We don't just want to hear the word and forget it. But we want to look into the perfect law of liberty. Actually, it means to bend over the word. That means you're really looking exactly into the word. And you continue in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. It's so good to pay attention to this. Lord, may your word bear fruit in my life. This morning, the Lord spoke concerning wisdom, to ask the Lord, Lord, is your word being fruitful, the word that I heard this morning? Have you given me wisdom? The Lord also showed me something to me. He showed me that sometimes I look too much into the Word, and you might be looking into the wrong things. He showed me that I looked into my phone way too much. I looked at unnecessary things that are not important. Of course, you can't look into two different things. You either look into one thing or the other. So it's so good to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do things that will bring death for me, but that will give me life, and to not allow ourselves to be deceived. It goes so fast. There's so much information today. There's so many unending, infinitely interesting things that are offered to us, but in the end we are dead. And if you're so occupied with those things, you have no time to look into the law of liberty. We can examine ourselves and say, how often do we look into the things that give us liberty and where the Lord speaks to us? And how often do we look into things that bring forth death, that make me foolish, and that does not bear fruit? But the Lord wants us to look into the Word, which is the law of liberty. Isn't it been your experience since the meeting last night? Have you experienced more liberty this morning? For me, every meeting has been a law of liberty. Through the life of the Lord, the Word becomes a law of liberty. The more we go through the conference, we are free from sin and from death. And let us also hold on to this at the end of the conference. Let us not be deceived by the tempter, but let us look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it and bear fruit. Then we will truly be blessed. Then it will not be useless, but we will be able to do God's will, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Who likes to do that? Do you like to visit somebody in their trouble or suffering, or would you rather go to a celebration? Would you rather go to a funeral or to a wedding where you have to comfort somebody, or where everybody's already happy? But to visit orphans and widows in their trouble is something active. And to keep oneself unspotted before the God. And we really need the Lord for that. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. So we should not be deceived by the world. It looks harmless, but the fruit will show us whether it's harmless or not. If it brings forth death, it is not harmless. Just like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was not harmless, but harmful. So may the Lord give us wisdom that we would reach the goal, and that it would not be useless, but that we would be first fruits. Thomas will tell us more about this. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving us such a word that has such power to equip us and to change us and save us, that you will bring us to the goal, Lord. We pray that it will gain more ground in our hearts and that it will be implanted in this conference. Lord, we want to reach the goal with you. It's so good that the Lord shows us the goal in James. James is an epistle about the goal. It's not an epistle about the beginning, but about the goal. And we can see these in quite a few verses in James. You see this right in the beginning when you read in the beginning of James, chapter 1, verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work." In James, it is about perfection. James wants to bring us to this goal, and that's why he wrote this epistle, that we should be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And it's so good to see this. There are many epistles. In the beginning of Romans, it's about the beginning of our salvation by grace. But in James, it is about how we can reach the goal. And that's why many people don't like this epistle. Many say, James is not so important. Let's not read James so much. Why? Because it requires our active cooperation, because we cannot remain the same, because it might not be so comfortable, but it's so good, and I treasure this word. And I really enjoyed in James chapter 1, verse 18, and James shows us what it's all about. God has one purpose, his will, for which he has regenerated us. And it's written here, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Why? That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. A kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we really want to become first fruits, because the first fruits in Revelation 14 are described there. There we see a group of people, 144,000. And there it says that they are standing on the heavenly Mount Zion. They're standing before the throne of God. And God has taken them to himself before the great day of God's wrath in the last 3.5 years. And these people have special characteristics. And we know these verses very well. But in Revelation 14, verse 4 and 5, there are some points about these first fruits. For example, it says that they are virgins. They kept themselves pure. And this is also exactly what James says. James does not want us to just practice a dead religion, but in James chapter 1, verse 27, he says we must have a pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. This shows that James is all about the goal, a goal that we should be first fruits, to be pure and undefiled until the coming of the Lord. Or in it continues in Revelation 14, verse 5, and in their mouth was found no deceit, no lie, for they are without fault. And this is exactly what James also said, that you should pay attention to your speaking, be swift to hear and slow to speak. This shows us that James has the desire that we would be changed, that we would be this first fruits, that we would not remain the same, but that it is an equipping of our hearts. That's why it's so good to read these verses and receive it so that we would be changed through these verses. And there's one more point. To become these first fruits, I found another verse in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. It's a very good verse. There God says, it's a law from God, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first of the first fruits. What does this mean? It means that the first fruits of our field are the best and the most precious experience that we have done, made with the Lord. New and fresh experiences with the Lord. And we should bring these into the house of the Lord. This is a commandment. So we can exercise and practice to have new experiences fresh and living with the Lord. And we saw in James that we can have daily experiences that we should bring into the house of the Lord. And this is so precious. So on the one hand, we would glorify God because it is fresh and new, and it will also change us. I really like this first of the first fruits. It touched me. If we have really experienced the Lord new in one point, we should bring it to the house and give God the glory and not keep it for ourselves. We should come into his house and bring the first fruits. We can experience this every day, and every week we have opportunities to practice this. Then we will reach the goal if we practice this every week. Then we will be first fruits that the Lord can reap. If we are full of fresh new fruits, that we will be such fruits. Praise the Lord.